Have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Isaiah. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. I encourage you to follow in God's Word. We'll only be looking at four or five different passages of Scripture, two from Isaiah, two from Jeremiah, and then one from the New Testament. I do ask all of you to pray that God will help us as we study His Holy Word. God will guide and direct us that we might have a good, clear understanding exactly what God's Word is saying. There are two very different ways that people respond to the Word of God. Sometimes God's people, I'm not talking about dead alien sinners now, but I'm talking about God's children who have been born of the Spirit of God, sometimes they rejoice in doing whatever God tells them to do. And then there are other times that God's children rebel against God's holy word. We're going to be looking at both instances in the Word of God tonight. First of all, looking at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and he shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. What is it that's going to be established? Well, don't tell me what it signifies, but in the words here, what is it?
Mountain of the Lord's house.
Okay. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, this is a prophecy about the coming of the kingdom of heaven and the establishment of the church of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven in the Old Testament is referred to as Mount Zion. And the house of God is established on the top of the mountain. And the Word of God says that when that happened, when the mountain of the Lord was established above the other mountains, and the house of God was established on that mountain, says that there would be many people that would say, look again at verse 3. Verse 3 says, And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. But what's going to take place on that mountain? He says, And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. There are two declarations that are made there. First of all, God in the house on top of that mountain, God will teach us His ways. And then there's a promise that's being made, and we will walk in His paths. There are some of God's people that want to go to the house of God. They want to hear the Word of God. They want God to teach them His ways. Why do we need God to teach us His ways? Well, the main reason we need God to teach us His ways is because God's ways are completely different than anything we can ever figure out. The ways of God are higher than our ways. Let's look at that in Isaiah chapter 55. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. I want us to see that the Scripture here in Isaiah chapter 2 is saying that there were going to be people that would say, Come, let's go up to the house of God. Because in the house of God, God's going to teach us His ways. And when God teaches us His ways, what did the people then say they were going to do after God taught them His ways? We will what? We will walk in His paths. Whatever He tells us to do, we're going to do. Now, you remember also that David in the 23rd Psalm, he said, He leadeth me in what? In paths of righteousness. That is, He shows me how to live. He shows me His way. And His way is different than our way. Look now at Isaiah chapter 55. Look at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Let me ask you this question. Does God always teach his people his way? Or when God's people refuse to follow God's way, can there reach a time that God will no longer teach them his way? Does God sometimes stop? In fact, here's what God said in in Genesis chapter 6, just before he sent the flood. He says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." That is, when God teaches us his ways and we continue to rebel against the ways of God, eventually God will stop teaching us his ways. And that's what he's saying here in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. The Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Are there times that you can't find God? Are there times, does the Word of God teach, that God will hide himself from his people? When God's people have rebelled against God and against God's Word and God's ways, they will find a time that they will seek the Lord and they cannot find him. You go home and read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 31, and you'll find that God said, "Because I have called and ye rebelled. I have taught you my way and you refused to walk in my way." God says, "Therefore, I'm going to send a whirlwind in your life and you're going to call on me, but I will not answer and I will laugh at your calamity." Are there times that God's people seek the Lord but cannot find him? When and what is it that's in our lives that will lead to God not letting us find him? It's when we continuously rebel against his word and his ways. Look now at Isaiah 55 verse 7. After the word of God has said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found," verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake." Now, the next two words say his way. And I want to ask you, the word his has reference to whom? The wicked. That's right, not God. Let the wicked forsake his way. Are you and I sometimes wicked? Do we sometimes do wicked things? Certainly we do. And when we are wicked, I need to forsake my way. You remember how in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "There is a way which" what? "Which seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death." So I can think I'm going the right way, and in reality, I'm going the wrong way. How can I tell the difference in God's way and my way? How can I tell the difference in God's way and man's way? How do we determine what is the right way? Go back there to Isaiah. Don't turn, just think. Going back to Isaiah chapter 2, the Word of God says we're going to go up to the mountain of God, to the house of God, and there God will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Where is it you learn what God's will is for our lives? You learn it in the house of God, yes, but you learn it by looking at the Word of God, the Bible. That's where this is the revealed will of God. You are under no obligation to ever follow me in anything other than what God's holy Word says. Does everybody understand that? It doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I believe, unless I can give you a "thus saith the Lord," you are under no obligation to follow me. However, if there is a clear "thus saith the Lord," then you must follow God's word and God's way. And so it is that sometimes we follow our own way. Have you ever followed your own way instead of God's way? Have you ever leaned to your own understanding instead of in all your ways acknowledging God? And whenever I do that, and I do that sometimes, but when I lean to my own understanding and I walk in my own way, then I need to hear God speaking here in Isaiah 55, 7, where God says, "Let the wicked" what? "Forsake his way." I need to sometimes give up my way for God's way. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Do you ever have thoughts that are not right thoughts? Do you ever walk down paths that are not right paths? "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him..." What's the next word there in Isaiah 55 and verse 7? Let him, say it again, Brother Wendell.
Return.
Let him return. Does everybody follow what that's talking about? That's talking about children of God who have been with God and walking with God and been in God's way, but they went away from God. They erred from God's way. So he says here, let the wicked man return unto the Lord, and he will. Isn't that a marvelous thing that God will have mercy on us? Are you thankful for the mercy and the grace of God? Have there not been many times in your lives that you have walked in your own way, and then as you have recognized that you've been in your way instead of God's way, as you've come back, isn't it wonderful that God is merciful and gracious and allows us to get back in His way? Let us return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now listen to verse 8. What's the difference in your way and God's way? Let me ask you this question. Does it matter what this whole church votes to do or not do if what you vote is not in harmony with God's holy word? Well, I didn't ask that question because heads are going, yes. Well, it does matter. But what I'm saying is our way ever right, even if everybody votes a particular way? Is our way right if our way, what we voted to do, if it contradicts God's word, then is our way right or is God's way right? It's always God's way that's right. And so he says in verse 8, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Have you ever tried to figure out the way of God? God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And then he says, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is righteous and holy. God is all wise. And God's ways are right. God's ways are for our good and for His glory. And we need to follow God's word and God's way in every way in our lives. Now what did the text in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3 say? Says that many people will go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain, to the house of the Lord our God, and there He will teach us His ways, and we will what? What was the last promise? And we will walk in His paths. Have you ever had a child say, Daddy, if you'll just tell me what to do, I'll do it? Have you ever had a child say that? Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Brother Ken, have you ever had your children or grandchildren say that to you?
Very rare.
Okay. But sometimes children do that, don't they? They say, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we're not sure what to do. And we have to beg God, God, teach us your way. Help us to know your way. Help us to learn your way. Teach us what you would have us to do, and then we better have the same commitment that the people of God had in Isaiah 2:3, where we say, now if you will just teach us your way, we will walk in your paths. One of the greatest blessings that I have in my life is seeing people of God that when they see God's word says to walk a particular way, that they say, we will walk that way. We will do what God says to do. We will follow God's way, even when we don't feel that God's way is right. We'll still do what God's word says. Have you ever had that in your life? I'll tell you one of the things that I had trouble with when I was raising my children. I had one child that was very rebellious and very hard-headed. And it took a lot of whippings, many whippings. And I would whip, and I would whip, and I would whip. And sometimes on Saturdays, it seemed like Saturday was his worst day and my worst day. And I whipped him as many as 6 and 7 times on Saturday. And I would, do you know what I thought many times? Do you know what I sometimes thought? This is just not going to work. This is just not working. This is just not doing any good. Have any of you ever, parents ever felt that way with your children? This is just not working. This is just not doing any good. It looks like that all the work we do, it looks like it's just going down the drain. And every time God would tell me in my heart, you do what my word says. You better believe that I will honor my word, and you better keep doing what my word says. Whether you can see the results or not, you continue to do what my word says, and you will see the fruit in your life. And you know, all of a sudden, it looked like the switch just, the light came on, and that child began to be much different. He's not perfect, you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. But what I can tell you tonight is, God's way does work. It'll work for you in every aspect of your life. It'll work for me. It'll work for the church. It'll work for your family. It'll work for you wives. It'll work for you husbands. It'll work for you as parents. It'll work for every one of us. God's way is right. And if you will honor God by doing what He says. Do you remember the text back there in Isaiah 2:3 says that when we go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God on that mountain, He will teach us His ways and we will walk in His paths. And it's a great blessing to realize God's ways are higher than our ways, but it's also a great blessing when you find people that say, whatever God says do, we'll do it. That's a wonderful blessing. Aren't you glad to be associated with people that feel that way, that whatever God says do, that's what we're going to do? It's a great blessing to me. Go to Jeremiah now. Please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Talking about God's way. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about God's way for a family, an individual, a church, or for a nation. Does God direct nations on how they're to conduct their lives in a nation? Does God give laws for a nation? Now, when God's people in that nation rebel against those laws and come up with their own ways, you understand, mark it down, that when we turn our backs on God's word, we're going to see what happens. Would you say that Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, would you say that was a very positive response when the people said, we're going to go to the house of God, and He's going to teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths? Was that a wonderful response there in Isaiah? Now I want you to hear a different response in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, listen please, beginning in verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, listen to the different kind of response here. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. The Word of God says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. What are the old paths? Let me ask you that question. What are the old paths? Is that just what your grandparents believed? Is that the old paths? That's not the old paths. The old paths are the paths that are given to us in God's holy word. That's the old paths. You can't just go back to your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents. You have to go back to the paths that God has given us in His holy word. So He says here, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Have you ever prayed for God to bless you to know what the old paths are? Have you ever said, God, please just show me your way. Show me your paths, and I'll walk in those paths. Let me ask you this. Why would you ever say that? Tell me any reason that you would ever say to God, God, show me your way, and I will walk in your way. What kind of person, what kind of feelings does a person have when a person makes that commitment, God, if you'll just show me your way, I'll walk in your ways? What kind of feeling is it that person has? Say it again. Okay, love, humility, brokenness. Say it again. Yes, knowing God is in control. Do you know every one of us needs to be saying what this is? We need to be asking God, show us the old paths. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now they may not have publicly said that. They may not have taken a vote and said, we will not walk in your ways. But by their actions, they were saying, we will not walk in God's ways. Did you know that in my life, in your life, there are some ways that we have said that by our actions, we have said, I'm not going to walk in God's way in that area of my life. I'm going to walk in God's way in some areas, but there are some things I'm going to hold on to and reserve unto myself. Listen, brethren, any time that we as God's people decide by our actions that we're not going to follow all of God's way, we're going to experience a very severe chastening from God. God, show us your way, and we will walk therein. That was a wonderful response in Isaiah. But here the Word of God says that they said, we will not walk therein. Listen to verse 17. God, through Jeremiah, this is Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you. Who do you think the watchmen represent today? 2008. Who do the watchmen represent?
Pastors.
And yes. I will set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. What is the trumpet? It's the word of God. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Well, now what's the response going to be? What's going to happen to God's people when God teaches them His way and they show Him His paths, but they will not walk in His way and in His word? Verse 18 says, therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Have you ever rejected the word of God and the laws of God? Have you ever said by your actions, I'm not going to walk in God's way? What does God say He's going to do when we do that? You read God's word and you'll find out. Go with me to the New Testament just a moment. Please turn to Matthew chapter 7. If you were going to talk about the way, God's way, what's the one verse you would go to? Everybody here should know this, the answer to this question. If you're going to talk about God's way, you're going to talk about walking in God's way, what's the one scripture that everybody should immediately go to? Say it again, Brother Brooks.
7:21.
Yes. Okay. All right. Matthew 7. We're going to get to 21, but there's another one in Matthew chapter 7. 13 and 14. And then there's three other verses. Let's start with Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Talking about God's way being different than our way. Talking about the importance of us asking for God's way. Talking about the importance of us walking in God's way. Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Did you know God's people sometimes walk the broad way? And when you and I walk the broad way, it will lead to destruction in our lives. Then he says in verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and what's the next word there? Few there be that find it. Is he saying that you've got to walk the straight and narrow way, and that's the way you get to heaven when you die? Is that what he's talking about? Are there only going to be, this is talking about a few people entering whatever this is, right? Few there be that find it. Are there only going to be a few people in eternal heaven? The Word of God denies that. The Word of God says the number of heaven is going to be as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of heaven and as the dust of the earth. They're innumerable, a great host of people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe that no man can number. But what about those who enter whatever it is you're talking about here? What's the word? What's the three-letter word? Few there be that find it. Are there a few people who walk this narrow way, the straight and narrow? There are few. And what is it that they enter into because they walk that straight and narrow way? What do they enter into? That's exactly right. The kingdom of heaven, not eternal heaven. You don't get into eternal heaven because you walk the straight and narrow way. Why would you be in the eternal heaven? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died for you and paid for your sins. That's what gets you into eternal heaven. But entering the kingdom of heaven is based on you walking the straight and narrow way. What does he say right after this? Look at Matthew 7. Brother Brooks mentioned it. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus, continuing the same thought that he began in verses 13 and 14, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Does that go back to Isaiah 2, verse 3? He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. Who is it that enters the kingdom of heaven? Not everyone that saith unto him, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do you have to be doing what God's Word tells you to do? Do you have to be walking in those old paths in order to dwell in the kingdom of heaven? Yes, you do. In closing, look at verses 24 through 27, still talking about the same truth. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Who is that represent? Who does this represent? Who does this represent? Okay, the rock represents Jesus, but who is it, the people? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Okay, it's backing up to Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Which one is it? Which group is it? Those that walk the straight and narrow path. Matthew 7, 21. Those that enter the kingdom of heaven. Going back to Isaiah 2, verse 3, what is it? It's those that hear and they say, come, let's go up to the mountain of God, to the house of God, because that's where he's going to teach us his ways. Do you know what I better always be doing as long as I'm living? As a servant of God, you know what I better be doing? I better be teaching you God's ways. That's my responsibility. Not tell you current events, not tell you about little jokes and things like that. I need to be teaching you God's ways. You need to be established in God's ways. You need to know God's ways. If you don't know God's ways, I am accountable to some degree for that. I'm to be teaching you God's ways. That's one of the purposes of you coming to the house of God, is to worship God, but also to know for sure what God's ways are. And you know what you're supposed to say? We will walk in those ways. We will be doers of God's word. Because when you hear these sayings of mine and do them, you'll be like a house that's founded upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded on the rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Did you know both those categories represent children of God? Some of them hear the word of God and say, we will do, and they do what God says. Others say, we will do, but what? But they don't ever do what God's Word says. May God help us to be doers of God's Word and not hearers only. May God help us to ask for the old paths and to walk therein, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.